Okay, we are up to Perek Lamed. We are in the middle of Perek Lamed. We are up to Pasuk. Let's start with Pasuk Zayin again. Shtayim sha'alti me'itoch al timna mimeni b'terem amos. Shlomo HaMelech, in the name, in his adopted name, Ogur ben Yoker, he is now pleading with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he be granted two things. Two things I ask from you, and I ask from you, Al Timna Menuk Peter Amus, do not deny from me while I am alive. While I'm alive, before I die. What are the two things which I demand? So let's go right over to the next. Pasuk Ches, Shavu Dvar Kozov, Harchek Mimeni. Number one, I ask, Shav means falsehood. Falsehood and lies, harcheik mimen, that seemingly are two separate things, which we'll explain in a moment, but two different ideas. Shav, I should not be a man of vanity. Udvar chozav, I should not be a liar. Harcheik mimen, prevent me from being stumbling into this matter. Third and fourth is reish. Reish means poverty. V'oysher, wealth. Al titenli, do not grant me. Can you imagine? Shlomo HaMelech was the richest man in the whole world. Ever was. And he's asking Hashem, don't make me rich. So what exactly does that mean? And he was also, by the way, the poorest man in the world. After he was deposed by Ashmedai, and he wandered the world, he didn't have, what did he have? He had nothing. He didn't have a penny to his name. He had his staff, his makel. He experienced both extremes in his lifetime. Reish, poverty. V'oyshar, wealth. Al titen li, do not give me. But instead, hatrifeni lechem chuki. Famous expression, hatrifeni means grant me. Hatrifeni is a word which means to give, but it's used in the context of food. To be this the ale zayis toroif toraf befiha, the oirev and the yoina, what was it? the yoina came back and had an ale zayis that was toraf befiha, that was snatched. Hatrifen lachem chuki, snatch for me the bread, my allotment. Chuki means my allotment, the amount of parnasa that I am supposed to get. Please, may you Hashem grant it to me. But in this context, it means just give me what I need. Don't give me too much and don't give me too little.
It's now, before we, yep. Yeah. It's in Mirror.
Yeah. So we take it's taken right out of it's lifted straight from the pasuk here in Mishlei. Now the obvious problem with the pasuk is that Shlomo asked for two things, and he right away we list four things. We list Shav and Kozov. That's Shav is number one, Kozov is number two, number three is Resh, number four is Osha. So basically, all the commentators explain is that there are various parallels. Either we can suggest is that he's asking for Shav and Kozov. Those are the only two things that he's asking for, Shav and Kozov. And Shav, we'll see in a moment, corresponds to Osher. It's not in order, it's the opposite order, we'll see in a moment. And Kozov, falsehood, corresponds to Resh, corresponds to poverty. That's one interpretation. So the two primary things that he's asking for is not to be nichshol in what is called shav. Number two, what is kozov? The causes of shav and kozov, as we will explain in a few moments, comes from a state of reish and osher. Or you can say just the opposite. Shlomo HaMelech is asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, do not grant me reish and osher. And Reish and Osher are interlinked, they are related to Shav and Kozav, which we'll explain a little bit in a few moments. Or we can learn, on another level, is that Shav and Kozav is considered one. They're both similar. Falsehood. A person who lies is equivalent to a person, let's say Shav means to swear falsely. Swear Shav means a Shvua Shav. An oath for no reason, or an oath, that's the same exact thing as Kozov. So that would then mean that Shav and Kozov is counted as one. Reish and Osher, a person's financial state, extremes in one's financial state is also grouped together, and it's considered one. They're opposites, but they're extremes. There's a very small difference between very cold and very hot. If you put a person in a room and the temperature is 100 degrees below zero, if there's such a thing, once you get a certain point, you can even, the temperature, I don't know how it works. And then you put that same person in a room that is 1,000 degrees, Can he tell the difference? So seemingly, the experts tell us that when you deal with extreme temperature, the body, when the body is put in an extreme temperature, they're talking about the real extremes, not talking about 100 degrees versus 0 degrees. Real extremes, you can't even tell the difference. When you're in a matzav of an extreme, you don't know the difference. So here as well, a person in a state where he's extremely wealthy, extremely poor, can be led to do crazy things. And instead he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put him somewhere in the middle. Hatrifeni lachem chukhi. We'll see a little more. Now let's just go a little bit further, because we really need Pasuk Tes to explain what is the purpose of Pasuk Ches. Why pen? The reason why I do not want these four things, which we're going to really summarize as two. The reason why I do not want pen espa v'chichashti, I may become sated, and then I will deny Hashem's existence. Vayishman yishurun vayivot. Klal Yisrael, they became fat. V'dizahav, Hashem gave Klal Yisrael an enormous amount of wealth after leaving Mitzrayim. They were not familiar with dealing with wealth, and that led them to worship the Egel. Pen espa, I'll be satisfied v'chichashti. That is the danger of Osher, and Osher leads to Vichichashti, to deny Hashem's existence. V'amarti, and I'll say, Mi Hashem, who is Hashem? And that will lose, that's pretty much referring to Kozov, if I'm not mistaken, to Kozov. Kozov means you're going to lie. So the first part of the Pasuk Ches was Shav Udvar Kozov, to deny Hashem's existence. That comes from Osher. Osher leads to Espa and Vichichash. They'll become very satisfied. I'll deny Hashem's existence. V'amati mi Hashem. Upen Ivaresh. Ivaresh is Resh. I'll become extremely poor. Do not grant me poverty. Then I cannot be oimin in the sin of poverty. V'gonavti. V'gonavti, I'll come to steal. V'safasti shem Elokai, I'll be over on a shvua shav. I'll take the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in vain. I will be. They'll catch me and they'll ask me to swear, and I'll swear falsely. So we see here, Pasuk Tes really, to some degree, summarizes, groups together Pasuk, the four different aspects of Pasuk Ches. The shav is a result of poverty. Resh leads to theft. Theft leads to a shvua shav. Osher leads to arrogance and complacency, which leads to denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the ultimate kozof. Okay, let's see these two psukim together in the Mitzudot Stav, and then we'll see some of them in the Farshim. Okay, Pasuk Chesim to the Stavet, Shav Udvar Kozof. Hihi. According to the Mitzudot, he's learned it's all one. The two things that we're going to have in according to the Stavet is, one is law is falsehood, which can be broken down into two parts, shav and kozov. And the second thing is extremes in financial status. So shav and kozov, he, it's the same thing. Kafaldav b'shemos nifradim, different names. What? Zayin we did yesterday. We did Zayin yesterday. We actually did Zayin. Okay, we'll go back. Let's go back to Zayin. Zayin, the Mitzvah says, Shtayim, Atu Yidaber Mul HaMokam. Baruch Hu. Now Shlomo Melech is speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yomar. Shnei Dvar Ni Shel Mimcha. Al Tim Noem Mimeni B'Terem Amos. Do not deny them for me while I'm alive. Ratzlem HaKoy V'Chayai Lo Yuminu Mimeni. It's an exchange expression. B'Terem Amos. Why didn't you go to say B'Odi Chai during my lifetime? So maybe he's trying to allude is that Soif Adam Lamos, the person has to recognize that it's all a matter of describing the same while I'm alive. While I'm alive implies I'm eventually going to die, but we don't think. When he wrote this, so Mishle was written in the middle of his life. Rosh Hashanah, three books. Koheles was written at the end of his life. Shashim was written at the beginning of his life in his youth. And Mishle was written when mid-age crisis. This is a result, midlife crisis. His response to midlife crisis is Sefer Mishle. Okay, Va'aldi Timnei Mimen B'temos. In Pirkei Avos, it says when a person is 100 years old, Ki'ilu Meis. Go through all different ages. 70 years is 60. I've got all different parts of 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. The Mishle says Kilu Meis, as if he already died. Why does what bottle? They actually say by Rav Wozner, Zecharon Levracha, that when he was 100 years old, they write in the newspapers that he was 101. His son says it's not true, he was 102. His son is certain that he was 100. That means that when they made a birthday party when he was 100 years old, they were off by 1 year. That makes a difference. But he said that when he became 100 years old, he asked a shayla if he's still out the paskin. Mm-hmm. He asked, went to other rabbanim, who's older than him, I don't know who's older, if he's allowed to paskin, if he really can trust himself that he is 100% in control. And Rav Scheinberg did the same thing. Rav Scheinberg also, how old was he when he died? Rav Scheinberg was also very, very old. Got to a certain point where basically someone came to ask him a shayla, and he says, you know, I'm already at a state in my life where I can't trust myself that I'm in my right mind. That's what he said. And I can't paskin, I don't want to paskin any shilas. Even though I feel I know the answer, but you know, you get to a certain age, your mind plays games with you.
Other factors involved as well. I mean, you're thinking, you know that time is running short and you have a different mindset, like not like the average person, so you might paskin totally differently.
Okay, it's another idea. But this is a very scary thing. The Mishnah says, Kilumais. I once heard a Baal Musar say, very powerful word. It ties in very well to this past Teramos, is that many people, it's impossible, it's really impossible to relate to death. We don't know what death is. No one ever came back to tell us. We don't know what it's like. So we don't relate to it. So therefore, we fool ourselves. We don't take seriously the Oymek HaDin. What's going to be? Lachameyev Eshen. But the Mishnah responds to that by saying, that's right. You don't have to think of death in terms of dying. It's just a matter of time. Make, you're going to live forever. It's just like we can all appreciate. So soon's going to be Shavuos. Then will be the 3 weeks. Then it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We could appreciate. We've been through the cycle a number of times. So we have a sense here. It's just a matter of time until we get to the next Yom Kippur, the next event, the next Simcha, the next thing in our lifetime. So don't think of death in terms of going to a different world, in terms of the unknown. Think of death just as a matter of in your own lifetime. In your own lifetime, it comes a point in time where you're dead. Time is running out. When a person is 100 years old, make believe you're not going to die. There's no such thing as death. You're not going to die. But you can relate that you're going to become 100 years old one day. You're going to live to be 100 years old. And when you're 100 years old, you're as good as dead. That is something which can work. A person can use to recognize time is running out. Time indeed is running out. I have opportunities to do mitzvos, to accomplish things, and it's not just, okay, the unknown's going to happen. I can't deal with that. The known will happen. I'll be 100 years old, I'll be alive, but the Mishnah says, when you're 100 years old, that's it. You're not worth anything. Kilu meis. Betedem tamu amos. Here he's focusing on the negative to imply that the day is coming. The day is coming. When instead of saying while I'm alive, and not say, and instead of saying the tamu amos, he's more of a sober a message that it's just a matter of time. Okay.
Away from the 2 to 4.
Yeah.
That is shtayim. It's another place where that question is asked. From his father.
Yeah.
It says, Acha
Shualti,
right.
Acha Shualti, and he lists the whole long thing.
And that is a whole thing.
A whole long list.
One of the Mepharshim said at that point that, you know, first you get, I have one thing I want to ask you. And once you say, okay, then you start to keep on going.
Like a long list.
I'm going to
start
to go, all of a sudden he said this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's.
Put the door.
Okay, let's see. Pasik Ches in the Mitzvah.
Actually, the Malm has a different title.
Right.
Yeah.
Before I go off the Derech.
Before I go off the Derech.
Misa Sanefesh. Are you there? Shehetem Yiderech Amuna. Mimashi Hafei Derech Philosophy.
You give me too much, I'm lost.
While I'm still holding with the program,
what happens?
I'm still holding with the program.
Then help me stay on the right path.
That's what was happening.
Right, it's not a joke. That's what many parents are saying about yeshivas today. I'm not asking that the yeshiva should give my child a good education. Just don't ruin them. I've heard that so many times. When Michael, the PhD, when Michael, the Nobel Prize, when Michael, all these things, all the schools are bragging about, they don't see it. They don't see all these, just don't ruin the kid. The kid should come out of the system a happy camper. What?
Don't let school ruin my education.
Yeah, pretty. I mean, exactly. Just should be a happy camper. It's a baby. Schools are becoming a babysitting service. And okay. But Shavu Dvar Kosov Harchik, let's give you the Mitzvah of a Pasuk, Pasuk Ches, Shavu Chad Dvar Kosov, he hits the same thing, come down, Bishemus Nefradim, Kemoy Admas Ofar in Daniel, an example, two words which mean the same thing, earth and Ofar, it's nothing more than an expression. Pasuk Harchik, Ratzulai, Martain Bilibi, inspire me, Ledaber Emes, to speak only the truth, the limas b'sheker, and to detest falsehood. Hatrifeni, what's the word hatrifeni? This is the code word for parnasa. Parnaseni machal kotzov de hasipuk. Support me with what I need. Just what I need, lahachios hanefesh, what this neshama needs, v'lo yoser, not more. Why not? Pasuk test. What's the danger of having too much? Pasuk test, pen espa, ratzulaymar, ki kishayiya li oisha rav. If I'm extremely wealthy, pen espa biyos, I'll be too satisfied. The esgoe, I will become arrogant. The echash b'Hashem, I'll deny Hashem. Loimar mi Hashem, k'loimar ein Elokim. That's the danger of extreme wealth. What's the danger of poverty? Upen ivoreish v'im eye oni. If I become poor, pen kishehaye rosh b'yoyser egnoiv. Hoin, I'll steal money. L'malois nafshi to fill up my neshama. Hamis aves.
That is.
The goof, the body, my sustenance, in order to survive this world, hamis aves, that has a desire, the etpois b'fi, lahaskir eshem hashem, lishova boy al shekhar. I will swear falsely against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll swear falsely. The Medrash actually says that this is worse. From the two extremes, the Medrash says that it's worse to suffer extreme poverty. Because extreme poverty, they learn from this pasuk, they learn the Chazal have analyzed that swearing falsely in Hashem's name is worse than Dvar Kozov. Dvar Kozov, at least, it's like you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. You know that Hashem exists, but listen, Hashem is you and is me. You know, there's me also. Me Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koyli. I know there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you know, Koychi V'Oitzim Yadia. I also have a partner. But you still acknowledge the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's hope. Hashem could humble the person, and when he humbles the person, he'll rebound, he'll come back to his roots, because he never denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Rachmanu Litzlan, if a person is reduced to abject poverty and he doesn't have what to eat, then he can completely not even be aware that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He comes L'idei Shof. Hashem, there is no God. There is no God. So even then, if the day comes when he rebounds and he has Parnasa, he's not necessarily going to come back to the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does exist. So it's a greater nisayon to suffer abject poverty than to suffer extreme wealth. And that's why probably many people say, I'll take the money. I have no problem. Trust, I can handle it. I'm willing to buy a lottery. Look, people buy lottery tickets all the time. Right? So why are you buying a lottery ticket? Don't you have what it says here in this pasuk here? It says in the pasuk here, you know, obviously people worry about when it happens. When it happens.
So Rosh Hashanah says that the Jews are able to handle poverty. Wealth.
Oh, you say just the opposite. Poverty they can handle. Not everyone can handle poverty. Poverty leads to terrible things, especially in today's society. What?
Poor person,
yeah,
prays for tomorrow and he stays religious. The rich person says, I'm having a great time today. What do I need religion for?
Okay.
That's the flip side.
Okay, I think when these ideas are being expressed, they're not discussing abject poverty. Right. They're discussing poor. Okay, but Baruch Hashem in America, in America, they'll give you some. You'll find a program to go on to get by ends meet. But let's say you're dealing with abject poverty. You're dealing with, you don't have what to eat. This Chazal say is the worst of the worst. And I think they say that a person that suffers poverty and it's not a koifer, he will. It's guaranteed he's not going to go to Gehenna. Because the Gehenna on this world is so great that's much more than anything you can experience in the next world. Alright, let's see the next words of Rashi. Next words of the Mitzudos. So we did the Mitzudos. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Zayin. Shtayim Sha'alti Me'itach. Achsha Medaber Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlomo is making a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number one is Rosh Dalos, poverty. Kei Hatrifeni Loshin Mozain. The word Hatrifeni means food. V'chein Teref Nasan Liriyav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted Teref, food provisions, to those that fear him. provisions. Tarav is now wise because it means some first to explain that. What does it mean, tarav? Tarav means to snatch. It means to take. Parnasa come, a healthy parnasa comes from an exchange of goods, bartering, business. And a healthy economy is where there is trade. That is how the economy is a healthy economy is where there's a lot of, I don't know the world of economic terms. The economy is when there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of movement with money, goods, trade, bartering. So tariff means parnasa means when the person is.
Economy,
people are going back and forth, so that's why the word's a borrowed term. Tariff means to grab, but it means most to take from someone else. I give you money, so you're taking my money. In exchange, I'm taking the goods. I'm earning my keep. That is a healthy expression of parnasa. Okay, pasuk tes in Rashi pen espa. Why do I do not want extreme wealth? I may become satisfied. Mitoch oisher v'chichashti b'hakadosh baruch hu meiroiv gaiva umay hachosh. What are the exact words of denial? V'amarti mi Hashem klomar ein Elohim. I'll deny the existence. I told you a little bit different, not like Rashi, that even a person becomes very arrogant, he does acknowledge, but he also holds himself. Rashi is saying another mahalach that through wealth a person can come to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Chas v'shalom. With this, then it can come through extreme poverty. This sofasti shein Elokai lahargil lishava bo lesheker, to continuously swear falsely. Now the Medrash says what the Medrash. Now interesting, the Medrash says the reason why it's dangerous for Talmidei Chachamim, for people to have too much parnasa, is because they're distracted. And you see, it's very true. Person that's very has a lot of assets, marbe nechassim, marbe doga. You're worried, you're distracted, you don't have the time to focus on Torah and mitzvahs. The more assets you have, that's exactly what the Tanabel Yo says, puts it a little bit of a twist, not like with the Pashm Shat. The Pashm Shat is having a lot of wealth, you don't need a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You don't need to come on to Kaddish Baruch Hu, so you deny a Kaddish Baruch Hu's existence. That's one shot. According to the Medrash, no. A person that's extremely wealthy, he's well grounded, he knows very well that all of his money is from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I don't have time. Every single day you're busy putting out fires. You have a lot of assets all over the world. You have a lot of problems, a lot of tenants that aren't paying rent or making trouble or doing this or doing that. Real estate and who knows what. And servers going down for all your internet activities. You're busy. You're busy the whole day working on your problems. You don't have time to be oisik in avodas Hashem. That's how the Medrash puts a different spin on this pasuk. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud al tal shein a new idea. Al tal shein eved el adonav pen yikalelcha ve o shomta. A person should never be malshin, meaning inform the master of the bad deeds of the servant. And in this context, we're going to see in a few moments, referring to a person, every person is the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at times, people have complaints against their friends. So what they say is, I'll just curse you. I'll curse you, I'll complain, I'll be Moiser Dinoi Lashamayim. I will complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so-and-so has caused me harm, and let him have it. Open up the books. Even though that may mean that when you open up someone else's books, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up your books. But some people, they can't hold back. The hatred is so great. Thomas Nafshi Im Pelishtim. So it says here, don't do it. It's not a good idea. And sometimes Chazal indeed say you are allowed to do it. Sometimes there's such a halacha. I mean, does it work? Listen, I don't know. Everyone is different. If it's going to work or not going to work, you know, that's. But sometimes even just psychologically, a person has some degree of satisfaction. He vents. He's able to take away his frustration. A person has a lot of tsar. He's in a lot of pain. So if he'll go and he'll tell him, you know what? Just daven to Hashem that your enemy should have a downfall. That's satisfying. He comes out of the doctor's office. The doctor prays with him that his enemy should have his downfall. So he walks out of the doctor's office. I feel good now. Did this tefillah work? It's irrelevant. It's it's irrelevant if the tefillos worked or didn't work, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted. But a person has certain satisfaction. Here it says in this pasuk that's not a good technique. This is not a technique, a Jewish technique, that a doctor should tell a patient, let's pray together. Let's pray that Hashem should destroy your enemy, because this is not the Jewish way. It's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that you should be malshin to the master. Here the master is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, concerning one of his servants, concerning another fellow in Klal Yisrael, even if your friend is extremely evil. Now, how would you define extreme evil? Well, you could probably give a million examples, but the pasuk here says extremely evil is a person who curses his own parents. That is the benchmark. That is the model, the paradigm of true evil. Person is so cruel that he can curse his father and mother. That shows this guy is a real good for nothing. And one can say, such a person, I'm allowed to be mispalel to Hashem, that he should come to an end. Yet the pasuk says, nope, even him you can't do. Let's see the mitzudos. Let's read the pasuk, get off of the pasuk. Dor aviv yikalel, even a generation where people cursing their fathers, the es imo lo yivarech, and is not willing to bless their mother. Pasuk yud beis, even a generation, dor tohar be'enav, conceited generation. They think they're perfect. They're beyond musar, beyond reproach. Umitzoy oso lo ruchatz, a generation who has not been cleansed from their filth. Next pasuk, dor mo ramu enav, even a generation whose eyes are lifted all the way up, meaning the arrogance is off the charts. The afapav, their eyelids, yinosehu, are uplifted. Pasuk Yudalit, even a generation, adar charavos shinov, whose teeth, the shinov refers to the teeth in the front teeth, their teeth are sharp, are like swords. Uma'acholos misalosav of the molars. The back teeth are like a macheles. Vayishlach Avraham es yodo vayikach es ha-macheles l'shchot es bino. A macheles is a knife. Their back teeth are like knives. It's parallel to the word of cheref. U'machalos ma'misal oisof. What do people do with their teeth? Their teeth, which their front teeth and their back teeth, which are like swords and knives. L'echol aniyim me'eretz. They eat up the poor. They chew up the poor. They take advantage of a poor person. They eat up the poor. And the destitute are pulverized. They're chewed up from existing as human beings. They're not even, they treat the destitute as subhuman. They're me'adam, lower than human beings. They're obviously, we're dealing with extremely wicked people. Okay, so we have a long list, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, four psukim, describing in detail the ultimate evil that man can fall to. Even concerning such people, Pasuk Yud says, Al tal shein eved el adonav. You're still not allowed to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about these people. Just be quiet. And just to run ahead, the Gemara, the Mefarshim illustrate this with a whole Sefer Hosea, the first of the Treyasa. What did Hosea ben Be'eri do? Hosea ben Be'eri said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I'm one of your prophets. I'm dealing with these people. They're my balabatim. They're goners. I think I'm going to become a rabbi of a church. Because these people, they're hopeless. There's nothing. Exchange, he actually asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's time to exchange Klal Yisrael for another nation. That's what he did. That's what Hashem ben Be'eri did. Yeah. So Hashem begins. Hashem says, you know what? Let's try it with you. Before we try it with Klal Yisrael, let's try it with you. You married? You'll take for yourself a woman who's a zona, a woman that's a good for nothing, but you have children from her. A woman that you have children from, you're married to her. I want you to marry a zona and you have children with her, and she's going to go and do her thing. Go divorce her. Is it so easy to divorce an evil woman who you've had children with, even though every day she makes your life miserable? No, it's not. It's not so simple. And you will experience the difficulty in trying to divorce a woman with whom you've had children with. And after Hosea went through this experience, he says, oh, now I understand Hashem. Now I understand that Klal Yisrael, you had a good start. They have produced, they have given you a lot of grief. But you just can't divorce them. You just can't give up and exchange them for another nation. I understand now through the muscle for what you required me to do. So Hosea ben Be'eri was the one that indeed was Talshein Eved, Klal Yisrael El Adonav to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're making a big mistake. And your mistake, I'm going to prove it to you, I'm going to show you when Hashem endowed the Sefer of Sefer Hosea. But let's see now the Mitzvahs and all of these Pesukim, a lot of Pesukim here. Before we go first, I want to make out one point, is that these Pesukim are really difficult in light of the tefillah that we pray every single day. Every single day we recite V'lam al shinim al tehi sikva V'chol ha'minim kerega toived V'chol oivecha V'chol oivecha mehera yikoresu V'hazeidim mehera tsa'aker U'sishaber u'smager v'sachnia V'mehera v'yameinu. That's one version. There are many other versions of this. One very complicated version. By Shmuel HaKatan. By who is this composed of? So you wouldn't know better. You would say it was composed for the Goyim. Right? For the Christians, the Muslims. Who knows? Who knows? It was composed for Jews. Yeah. It was composed early Christians or Jews. It was composed v'lam shumodim, v'lam shumodim. The only siddur that has the real ancient nusach on the bottom in the gray is the siddur Vilna. The siddur Vilna. I think I saw a copy of those floating around here sometime. Every shul has one siddur Vilna. Siddur Vilna. So that's what they have on the bottom. The real nusach. V'lam shumodim. And it was composed against our fellow Jews. Yeah. So how you talking? And that was not part of the original Shmona Esrei. So how could it possibly be?
It's
not part of the original Shmona Esrei. There were only 18 brachas. This is bracha number 19. Well, really, some of them, then there were only 17 brachas, then it became 18, then it became 9. We divided Etzemach David, we divided the bracha of Yerushalayim and the bracha of Etzemach David into two separate brachas. That's the Machlix, the Babel, and Yerushalmi. Was the original Shmona Esrei 17, or was the original Shmona Esrei 18? But in any event, today it's 19. And 19 includes the additional bracha v'la mishumadim, or as we say, v'la malshinim. And v'la malshinim is against our fellow Jews. V'la mikedik, different nuschos. Different nuschos. You have to go look near. They have a very good write-up on the bracha in the Sefer Vilna, on the Shimon Esrei, on the bottom. So the question over here is, so what's going on? How do we reconcile that with what it says over here in these psukim, that you're never allowed to be malshin, even if they're the worst of the worst? So obviously, it's not always true. Everything has to be taken in context. Everything taken in context over here, the people that Shlomo Melech is describing is not a threat to Klal Yisrael. They're not a threat. They are people who are extremely evil. But they're people who are of nature of live and let live. They're not bothering. There's no danger that Klal Yisrael will come to an end. They're wicked to the core. Just stay away from them. Mind your own business. You'll be okay. But the people that Shmuel HaKatan were dealing with, they were a threat to the existence of Klal Yisrael. And when you're dealing with such people in Achinami, then the bracha is appropriate. It is appropriate to be mispalled that they should come to an end. About where do you draw? Who's to say who's in that category? Right? Even the person who's your enemy, who's giving you grief. It's very easy to justify that such a person is continues. He's I don't want to say all these nasty words, but he can destroy. He's lethal. What can he do? Who's to say? Obviously, this is a very, very difficult thing to differentiate. Okay, but let's see the Mitzvah now. Pasuk Yud. V'lam al tal shein eved el adonav Mitzvah. Al tadaber loshon hara. Al ho'evet lifnei adonav, do not speak evil concerning a slave in front of the master. V'diver bo'hoiver, this is just a mashal. We're dealing with something very common. It's very common to go and to say lashon hara against a slave because the slave is vulnerable. There's no one defending the slave. You're not going to go say lashon hara against a rich man. The rich man will come out and attack you. He'll send the mafia after you. V'diver bo'hoiver, we're dealing with a common occurrence. Ki derech lashon hara l'amr lifnei mi shenemar olav muchne lo v'yari b'ponim. You say lashon hara against the people. people who are vulnerable against the slaves, he's going to curse you. Pen yikalelcha v'yoshamta. The slave will respond by cursing you. Pen u'eved yikalelcha v'tiyel l'shmama. And his curse will be justified. If the curse is justified, it will come upon the person and he will suffer destruction, desolation. Now, who are we talking about? Pasuk, the next four psukim elaborate and tell us the type of generation we're dealing with. Even a dar musav l'mala. Pasuk, Aleph goes back in Pasuk, the previous Pasuk, la'imar afilu hadar porots. Even a generation that's been breached. Asher v'goymer pen tachshav. Maybe you'll think la'halshin b'neihim. No problem. I can say lashon hara. L'man yechedav ish b're'ehu. V'yoivdu b'avaynam. I'll say lashon hara. So they should be destroyed for their sins. Im kol zeh. No. Shlomo says, don't do it. Asu l'cha al talshe never be malsh, never be moiser dinoi la'shamayim. Why? Even a generation a child curses father and his mother does not bless, lo yaskiram b'loshen bracha ela b'loshen klala. Same idea, a person that's not willing to say something nice about his mother, but he says something nasty about his mother. Pasuk yedeis dar tahar, afim adar ha'hu machzik atzma l'tar. A generation that considers themselves righteous. Self-righteousness is one of the greatest plagues of society. Because they think they're tzaddikim, they're not going to cleanse themselves from their sins. Because a person would at least know that he's a sinner, at least there's hope. Occasionally, I'll think about doing tshuva. A person thinks that tzaddik, there's no hope. Even afim hador ha'hu ma'me'oid ramu enof. Ratzaloimar, even a generation that's conceited, Hema Gasei Haruach, Pasuk Yidalit, Dor, here's a real scary pasuk. This pasuk is really one of a kind to describe the evil of a generation, how the rich exploit the poor, and it's described by eating them up. You know, maybe it gives new meaning to the Rasha, Af Ata Hake Eshinaf, knock out his teeth. Knock out the teeth of the Russia. What is the Russia? The Russia is described in Mishlei as wicked people. They devour the poor and the meek. Dar a generation charavois shinov. Af madrachahu shinov. Their teeth doimim lacharavois, to swords. Umat leoisof. Their molars are compared to lima'acholos, to swords, to a knife, a slaughter knife, a chalaf. Le'echol bohem eswanim, to eat up the poor people, le'echolosim, to destroy them in Oretz, le'hashchis eswavyoinim, and to obliterate the avyoinim from mankind. Ratzalayma, oichlem b'chol peh. They eat with their full mouth. They relish. They don't even hide the fact that they're destroying them. U'mashchisim avyoinim ad ki lo yachshavu min b'nei adam. They're no longer part of humanity, the poor people. The godla in Cain were awesome, admi, oh, their sin is too great to describe. Yet, even such people, a person should not speak Lashon Hara. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi illustrates this with the mashal that I gave you. Pasuk Yud, Al Talshin, Evet, Al Timsar Din, Al Adam. Never give over Mi Moisar Din, Al Adam. Let's Eik Allah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'afilu Hu Rasha. For example, Asher Avav Yikalel, he curses father, V'yes V'yes HaTo'evos HaMuros Kan Bo, and all of the abominations that are enumerated in the next four psukim are to be found among this person. The Raya Ladava, we prove it. Prove it. Prove that you're not supposed to do something like this. We learn from Sefer Hoshea, one of the first Sefer of the Treasar, Mehoshea ben Be'eri, Kedisa b'psachem b'perek ha'isha, Shehilshin eshol. There the Gemara gives some background. From the Psukim, it's not obvious what happened. The Talmud gives background to the story of Hoshea. How did Hoshea start? He was malshin. He complained to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Halshin eshol v'omar, ha'chalifam, Bu'uma acheres, Hashem, forget it. There's no hope with these people. Exchange them for a different nation. Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, really? You think it's so easy to exchange them? Kach l'cha, you try it. Kach l'cha eshes zenunim, you and marry for yourself a wife that will commit harlotry, that will not be loyal to you and have children with her, and see how easy it is to divorce her. Pasuk Yud Gimel, now we describe all of the sins. Dar Ma Ramu, a generation that's extremely arrogant. Zegasoi Saruch, arrogance. Dar Charovois Shinov, Hachitzanios, the word Shinov of the outer teeth. Matle Oisav Shinov, Hapeninios, the inner teeth. Okay, that concludes the Rashi. Okay, now what about the Midrashim? Okay, the Midrashim really, I don't really have, I didn't really prepare that much more than I have in the Sefer. Okay, he quotes the Gemara Yom Pesachim. We mentioned, he quotes over here pretty much the Rashis have taken from these Midrashim. Okay, let's now go to the next section. The next section deals with it's a new section, and this is very difficult. These until the end of the parak, it's a very, very difficult section, and it gives a lot of mishal. That's what this is. After all, this is Sefer Mishlei. So we have here.
Till now he's talking to Hashem?
No, these last sukkim, he's talking to us. He's talking to us. No, the Hashem was the Shav. No, this is a new section. Everything that we've learned from Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud is a new section where Shlomo Melech is giving advice. Okay, that's what it's all about. This is a collection of ideas. It's not short ideas. Short stories. Short ideas collected together in one paragraph. I don't know more. Is there a connection to different themes? Probably is, and of course, I don't know more. Okay, now we go to a new idea. This is a series of sukkim which is not in many interpretations. A lot of it, I think, Machol was familiar with is the Dal and Malchus. Numerous references in the next Pesukim. Rashi actually goes through a whole collection of them, and the Midrashim elaborate more on the Dalad Malchias. But let's see one thing at a time. First thing is Pasuk, which is semi-famous, La Aluka Shtei Vanos, half-half. The Aluka has two daughters, and the two daughters are always asking more, half, bring me more, I want more. They're never, these two daughters of the Aluka are never satisfied. Now, what is an Aluka? Aluka simply means a leech, a blood-sucking insect. It's a water insect. It's not just a worm, but it's a certain type of insect which thrives, a leech, on blood.
Sucks on blood.
That is the simple interpretation as to what Rashi says in this first interpretation. Also. However, most of the Midrashim, they translate Aluka as the grave. The grave is called an aluka. I guess it's a borrowed term because a leech is a blood suck, and the blood is the dam hanefesh. So when someone sucks out your blood, you go into the grave. The person goes into the grave. So that's what the grave is. The grave takes away the person's life. So the grave is always asking for more. It's never satisfied. What does the grave want? Look how many billions of people since the beginning of time have gone into the grave. How much more does the grave want? Why isn't it satisfied? It's never satisfied. La Luka Shtei Vanos, half-half, and it's always asking for, we'll see in much more detail in a few moments. Half-half, give me more. And then it's Shalosh Heina. Then it goes on to say, the truth is, it's not just the Aluka that wants more. There are three. Shalosh Heina. Loisispana, I'll give you another three that are not satisfied, and Arba, the fourth one also, Lo Amruhon, and the fourth one that never says enough. Hon literally means wealth, but here in this context it does not mean wealth, it means more, or means I had enough. So in Sach HaKol there are five things. There is the Aluka, that's number one. Then it says three. And then it says, and the fourth. So four plus one is five. Four, well, it's one, three, and then not three plus four, but it's three, four plus the first, a total of five. So that's the significance in the number. One, let's just run through the Pesukim, and then we'll come back. What are the three, comma, four? Number one is the Sheol, the grave, which seemingly goes back to the Aluka. Okay, so that's why it's a little bit problematic. We'll discuss all these things in a few moments. The grave always wants more people. Number two is the Otzer Rocham. Otzer Rocham is the erva of a woman. The erva of the woman always, now there are different interpretations. Either it means she's always yearning for more marital relations. That's one interpretation. Or as I think Rashi, the Mitzuda says, is that Rachmana Litzlan, there are always people in this world that suffer the ultimate tsar of they're not able to have children. People who would like to have children, and they don't have the ability. Hashem has denied them from having children. They're called the Otzer Rocham. Ki Otzor Otzar Hashem, that says it by Avimelech, But a woman that does not have children, it's called, she says, my womb has withheld from me the blessing of having children. Unfortunately, there always will be people who suffer this fate in this world. Even though today, Baruch Hashem, we've made incredibly great strides. If you read this, there was a fantastic article in, I think it was Ami magazine, about Boinei Olam. You see all the advertisements all over the place every year for Boinei Olam. So the head of Boinei Olam, I don't think he ever gave an interview. They wrote in that article, this is the first time that he sat down with someone to give an interview.
I'm in the country with him. So
incredible,
special
incredible, incredible article. What they do, and unbelievable. They say, I think he wrote that they can help 70% of the people that come to them. Incredible. What, 20, 30 years ago...
He himself has only an adopted daughter.
Right, that's how the whole thing started. That's how the whole thing started. It's a very sad article. But, go back probably 30 years ago, all these people could not be helped. And now, 70, it's an astounding number. 70%. Unbelievable. But it's not just that these people have nowhere to go. He knows he has connections with the best doctors all over the world. And very few insurances pay for these very expensive treatments. Unbelievable. Chizuk. And then he even writes that every single day new things happen. And they pull out all the old files. All the people that they were unable to help. Every single day, there are new developments in the field, and he pulls out the old files and he revisits all the old cases. It's just incredible. So here he talks about the tsar, and you read that article, you get a flavor of the tsar, the oitzer rocham, the tsar of not being able to have children. This is something which, unfortunately, is a tsar that existed in the world from the beginning of, from time of creation. And that's the second thing, which, why doesn't this thing go away? It should be this tsar should be satisfied. It already had its fill. No, it's not. It always wants to bring more tsar to the world in the category of oitzer rocham. And that's what the Masudah says. It's a very shocking interpretation. That's what it says. I'll show you in a moment. Eretz lo sova mayim. The earth is never satisfied with water. No matter how much water you pour on the earth, it's going to absorb the water. How could that be? It's never satisfied. And then comes the esh lo omro hoy. Now here we only have... there are four. So the four, we only read three. I read Sheol, Oitzerocham, no, Eretz Loisava, right? And then there's the Eish, that's number four. The Eish is Gehenim. The fire of Gehenim is never satisfied. It's always willing to burn up more evil neshamos. Now let's take a look over here at this very deep pasuk. These two pasukim together. Pasuk Tesvav, the Aluka. Pasuk Tesvav, La Aluka, Dima Bor Hakever La Aluka. We compare a Bor Hakever with the grave to an Aluka is a leech. Ki Maitzetzes, Vishay Efes, Kol Habrios, the grave, it sucks and draws all of humanity. Elecha towards it, Kederech Aluka, Hamaitzetzes Es Adam, like a leech sucks blood. Shtevanos. Now the grave, this is the interpretation of the Mitzudos. Okay, not to be confused with other commentators, because there are long lists of interpretations in this part, long selection of interpretations, but here it says it has two daughters. When a person goes into the grave, there are two paths. Some people go to Gan Eden, and some go to Gehenim. Shtei banos, heim Gan Eden, the Gehenim. Ha Gan Eden, oimeres, tein li tzadikim, it's heim. There's two baskels in the grave. Come, hof, come to me. And the other one says, come to me. Gan Eden says, come to me, tein li tzadikim. V'ha Gehenim, oimeres, tein li rishoyim. V'u'inin melit, this is an expression. Ki ilu yoimar, now what does the pasuk mean to tell us? Al yach shayv hatzadik, a tzadik should not make a mistake and think, listen, why should I be a good person in this world? There's no room for me in Gan Eden. There's no room for me. It's too crowded there. I might as well have a good time in this world, because I'm going to deny myself all the pleasures of this world and then expect to go to Gan Eden. I'm going to be squashed. It's going to be, it's very small.
Might as well go on the subway.
Exactly. I'm going to be squashed. Kitzarli hamokim be Gan Eden. That's what a person may be misled to believe. That's a mistake. Number two, v'al yachshayif harasha, asher agehenim kvar nismali. I don't have to worry about Gehenim because Gehenim is packed. Okay, it's overflowing with people. I'm not going to fit in. They won't take me because they can't. Asher ganim kavar nesmali mi pel peh. V'loyim selay makayim. So in response to this, the pasuk says, no, don't make that mistake. Plenty of room in both locations. Ki lo kenu, it's incorrect. Ki kol achas misaveh. Misavois oid al anoshem, desires more. Kihena rochavas yodayim, they're extremely wide expanse. V'cholechad yovei el makom, every person will find this proper place, in either in Gehenim or in Gan Eden. So therefore, person should not. That's the message according to the mitzudos of the aluk, the grave, which is borrowed from the term a leech, is always saying has two daughters. The two daughters are Gan Eden and Gehenim. Each one says half, come to me. Don't worry, we got plenty of room for you. Both of them have plenty of room. Shalosh Heina. Then we go on to describe another four in addition to the other world. Ratzlama imki shalosh heina mehamishpatim hanirim ashaloi tispana melishpait shafot. Imki, although three of the following mishpatim, which laws hanirim, which appear ashaloi tispana melishpait shafot, they never cease from doing their thing. The following three things always do their thing. Below yakitzu the mishpat, and they never come to an end. Im kol ze yesh od achareihem harvius. Even though we think that you finished everything that can possibly be with the three that we're going to enumerate, there's a fourth one. Od yesh achareihem harvius asher tikach od mishpat, which also does more. Umarbis mine hayisum, increases suffering. Shaba v'loyoymu dai lanu lasos hamishpat ki lo yirpu yideihem imenu. Now, so this is a very difficult mitzvah, but he's just trying to lead into his unique interpretation of the next pasuk. The next interpretation of the pasuk means tsar. A person thinks there are three forms of tsar in this world. There is the sha'ol, the grave. Dying is a very painful process. It's a very painful. A person will think, I suffered enough. I suffered enough in dying. So what more can I possibly want in the next? What more will they do to me in the next world? I already got my share in leaving this world. It's not so easy to get out of here. A person has to go through a lot of tsar to get out. So what more could they want from me in the next world? It's a mistake. Even after the tsar is over in this world, the fires of Gehenna are waiting to finish off the job. And another example, et oitzer rocham, rachmona litzlan, a person can say, I already had the ultimate tsar in this world. I was oitzer rocham. Hashem denied me from having children. So what more could Hashem want from me in the next world? Watch out. There's a number four. Number four is Gehenna. There's still going to be din v'cheshbon. Eretz loisova mayim. So Eretz loisova mayim is poverty. Now we'll see that. That's how I think that's his interpretation. Eretz loisova mayim is sometimes in this world, the earth is not satisfied with water. Hashem sends down to the world just a small dosage of rain. And what happens? There is a famine. So what more do you want from me? I live a life of abject poverty. I did not have parnos, not any fault of my own. I did everything I could possibly do. I plowed the field, I weeded, took out the weeds, I worked the field, but Hashem, you didn't do your part. You did not bring down the rain, so there was no produce, so I suffered. So here are three examples where a person could argue he's at the end of his life, he's 120 years old, and he says, listen, I got already all I can get. I'm sick, I'm ill, I'm old, I suffer, I'm dying. This is the Yisurim. Number two, I had a rough life, I didn't have children. Number three, I suffered poverty in this world. The rain did not produce produce. That's it. I know one thing for sure. When I die, I'm not going to Gehenna. I already had Gehenna in this world. That's what a person can think. Along comes Shlomo, it's a very scary, frightening pasuk, being a big mistake. There's more to suffer in the next world. There's Gehenim. The fire of Gehenim is not going to take all that as an excuse. There's still going to be the fire. Every single thing in this world, the person must give a din v'cheshbon. The fire is not going to say, hon, I had enough. Or in this context, the person had enough. This is the interpretation of the mitzvah. Very, very frightening interpretation. But that's what it says. I'm not making this up. So let's just go back and read those words again of the Sholosh Hena. Because now that we know the next part of the pasuk, I think this interpretation now has much more flavor. Sholosh Hena, Ratzalai Mar, in Ki Sholosh Hena, even though there exist the three ultimate forms of pain in this world. Hamishpatim Hanirim. Three types of mishpat. Mishpat here is used in the context of suffering. Ashaloi tispana, that doesn't give a person, they're never satisfied. Milishpat shafot, from causing pain. Velo yokitsu b'mishpat, it never comes to an end. These forms of pain never come to an end. Im kol zeh, don't think you're finished. Despite the fact that a person suffers these, a person Rachmana Lusan can, and there are people that do suffer these things in this world, yesh od acharehem harevius. There's more suffering to come in the next world. Asher tikach od mishpat, there will be more mishpat. Umar b'smine hayisurim shaba, and there will be more suffering there. Lo yomru, you're not going to be able to say day lanu lasos hamishpat. That it's enough. We already got what we deserve. We already got enough suffering. Kilo yirpu yideya mimena, because in the next world, the fire of Gehenna is not going to let go. I also want my share. I also want to have a chance to bring more suffering. Now, what are the three comma four? Number one is the sheol, is the grave. Hua kever. Asher lo sispats, not satisfied. Mipkorim meisim, from dead bodies. Asher yemusu bachurim. See, he's describing here not just death. He's describing unnatural death. I told you the process of dying is painful. But here it means even worse than that. A person dies young. Rachman Lutzlan, Oitzetzvayim. Rachman Lutzlan, the person sees his offspring that leave before their time. What greater tzar lay name in their eyes? There's no greater tzar in the world than this. So a person will say, I had it all. Can't be, I'm going to suffer more in Gehenim. The Oitzerocham, what's another great tzar? Kama nimtsa asher ne'etzra rechem o'isha, woman's womb is withheld. V'lo soilid banim, v'heim aholchem arim, they live a life without arim, without children. What greater tsar is there than that? Third tsar, eretz, rabos pamim yerid hageshem b'shir miut, small amount, v'ein daibor lehaspiat simoharit, it's not enough to go and cause the earth to grow. U'vnei adam kolim arav, they perish in famine. V'hinei, Shloishes hamishpatim ahena matzmidos. These things are continuous in this world. You can't know this world. The world, and in general, will always suffer from these three things. But the eish, v'ratzoloimar, achar mos ha'adam, it's not over yet. Nishpatu b'minei eish ha'gehenim v'hi serefes v'leches ki lo sichbe v'lo soimer die. It's not going to say enough. Everything a person does is always going to be a din v'cheshbon. There are no shortcuts. There is no way out. This is obviously, as we take with a grain of salt, obviously a person's mahar b'tshuva, and there's so many mamori chazal and tell us that we'll be spared from Gehenim, even if a slight, you put your hand into your pocket and you want to take out a quarter and you take out a nickel, or you want to take out an American quarter and you take out a Canadian quarter, something like that, and you have the tsar, then you take out, even that chazal says called yisurim, something lightweight like that, and that also can save a person from some degree from the din shel Gehenim. But that has to be taken against this pasuk here that says that there's no free lunch. Everything has a din v'cheshbon. Let's see Rashi. Rashi goes pasuk as of laluka. Menachem pasar laluka kimashmo, a leech. Aluka is a leech. Now I don't know what this means. Maybe you can help me what this means. Lamanu shehu aravi. What does that mean?
It's an Arabic word.
So that means that he, Menachem, was an aravi?
No, Menachem says
Menachem Melamed Shehu. What the word? The word is Aravi. The word is an Aravi. Okay, Arabic word.
Look at the Targum.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. Yeah, it means okay, it's an Arabic word. So okay, an Aramaic word. Okay, an Aramaic word. Melamed, that it's an Aramaic word. It is not a Hebrew word. Now, Luka is not a Hebrew word. We have Aramaic that is inserted to the text of Mishlei, not the first time. The Apoisrim, those that are more flexible, those that interpreters. Aimrim Shulashan Shaol, it's the grave. It refers to Umoirad and the descent, meaning another word for the grave, it means it's a borrowed, it means the grave. V'chein b'midrash tehillim l'manu keim shepoyser shtei bonos gan eden. The midrash tehillim says shepoyser interprets shtei bonos. There are two. What are the two daughters? Gan eden v'gehenim. Zo omeres tenuli tzadikim. Zo omeres tenuli rishon. So from the context of the midrash, it's clear as day that the aluka is the grave. The grave. In the grave, there are two paths. The Shama can travel the path to Gehenna and the path to Gan Eden. Okay, next Rashi. Then we have three, which are four. Arbo loy amru hoin harbe yeshlanu. The fourth is the fourth does not say hoin enough. I have enough. Hoin here means enough. Tezvav oitzerechem tashmish. So Rashi here is not learning like Rashi is very is silent. Rashi does not seem to learn from the one word of Rashi, does not seem that Rashi learned like the Mitzudos. He's just telling you general. There are three things. Shol means it's the way of the world that people die. The grave. Nothing more than that. We're not talking about premature death. We're not talking about shikul bonin. We're just talking about general death. How do I know that? Because when Rashi says oitzer rocham, Rashi does not refer to childlessness. Rashi says that a woman has a desire for tashmish. Oitzer maybe refers to a man. Also, I don't know why a woman more than a man. Oitzer rocham means so the pasuk says velishech. So the pasuk is mashma that a woman has more than a man. Okay, that whatever that means. But it means over here
wants a child.
What? No, but that's not what it is. Rashi is not going in that direction. According to Rashi, according to the reader, according to the Pashtunim, not like the Mitzudos, I think the most of the commentators, this has nothing to do with being denied children. This has to do, we're not dealing with tragedies. We're just dealing with the rules of the world. Built into the rule of the world is that it's a Mitzias, people die. Doesn't say your taxes notice. Doesn't that was left out from this pasuk. What? That's the half half. Well, that's the Medrash indeed says that. The Medrash says taxes. Okay, I take that back. Okay. But the three here, Sha'ol, is the Derech Olam is people die. Achar, Neya the Esrim. Nothing bad. Okay, comes a time, 120 years old. Nothing bad. It's built into the world, the taiva for marital relations, which is a healthy thing. If not for that, the Gemara says the world would not be populated. When the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, they destroyed the Yetz, they suppressed the Yetz Sahara for Arayos, they couldn't find an egg. There were no omelets the next morning because the chickens were on strike. And the Chazal said, the world needs this to exist. And what else? Eretz Le'Sova Mayim. The earth needs to water. The water cycle. The water cycle is essential for the world's existence. So this is a Mitzias. Rashi over here doesn't see from the one word of Rashi that says Tashmish. Rashi is not learning this very scary interpretation of that there's more suffering to come after the ultimate suffering in this world. Okay, so leave it with that. Now, as far as the Midrashim, okay, so the first Midrash is that the Aluka, where it says half-half, we learned that there are the two daughters. One daughter is Gan Eden, and the other daughter is Gehenna. According to the Medrash, we're not referring to Gan Eden, we're referring to Gehenna. In Gehenna, there are two primary candidates for Gehenna. Number one is Minus, and number two is Rishus. Rishus refers to the government, the corrupt government. And this is especially true. This is a theme that is all over in Chazal. That in the time of Chazal, the Roman government was thoroughly, thoroughly corrupt from beginning to end.
How does Russia take this for Hussein Barak?
Was thoroughly, the government in the time of Chazal was thoroughly corrupt, and everything about them, and therefore the pasuk is saying that Gehenna says half. I want the members of government, they are mine. And the second one is, the other half is Minus, are the apikarsim, people that pose a threat to Klal Yisrael in terms of of Apikorsis. That's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, the Medrash, the Gemara Masech Avodah Zarah. Let me read the Gemara. Zara Amar Mar Ukva. It's interesting. You always find that people who have a name that is similar to a pasuk, they always are darshing that pasuk. Or Ukva is similar to Aluka. Right, there is some similarity, no, the kuf and the ayin, but Omar Mar Ukva, Shtei Bonos Shetzakos, the Gehenim, there are two different paths in Gehenim. Gehenim, and they say Hove Hove, which is similar to Hov Hov, Mihain, Minus the Horishos, Minus Apikorsis, and the government. Okay, these two are the ones which are demanding.
There are places reserved for them.
A place reserved for them. Okay, now there's another very popular medrash. Okay, another popular medrash is not a medrash, a Gemara Masech the Brachos and Daf Tezvav. Let me read you. Omer Bitovi, Omer Bishoshi, Amai Dachsev, Sholosh Heinelos, Hispana, Shaol, Vioitzer Rocham. Now, the question of the Gemara is, my inyan, the Gemara's question, my inyan, Shaol, Eitzel Rechem. What's the Gemara's question? Is what's the juxtaposition, the snichus of the grave next to the woman's erva, the oitzer rechem? What's the connection between the two? Why do the two juxtaposed? So the Gemara says something very beautiful. Elo lebelucha, ma rechem machnis zera motzi vlad. Just like the rechem, it takes in zera. It takes in the zera of a man, and from that the woman conceives and produces a child. Likewise, the grave, when it takes in the body, it's also equivalent to the planting of a seed.
This is Gemara
Brachos, Daf Tezvav, being Masech the Brachos. Ma recha machnes zera umotze, and brings forth a human being. Af Sha'ol, when a person dies and is buried, you're planting a seed. And even more than that, Af Sha'ol machnes sasames motzi oso. The haloi vavarim kal v'chomer. Ma rechem shemachnisim bezer b'chashai. Marital relations is done quietly, silently, and when the baby comes out, it comes out not just the baby comes out, the first thing you hear, the cry of the baby, and the mother also is screaming in pain when the baby comes out. So when a person is buried, so it's accompanied by mourning. People are crying in their mourning. Sha'ol shemachnisim bo esameis b'koylei koylois. Ein edin alachas kama, when the dead come back to life, at the time of tchiyas ameisim, it's going to be accompanied by b'koylois. Ma'itzimi menu b'koylei koylois. Mikan, the Gemara Masech, the Bracha, says this juxtaposition of the two words, sha'ol v'oitzer rocham, is one of the sources in Tanakh of Tchiyas HaMesin Min HaTorah. Is a remez to Tchiyas. There are many references to this. But one of them is probably just Oz Yosher. Oz Yosher is the future tense. Oz Yosher, Moshav, Neishol. Rashi says, I think the Torah, there are four. If I'm not mistaken, the Chamish Shechum She Torah, there are four hints to Tchiyas HaMesin.
11 altogether.
And then Tanakh, altogether 11. Here is one of them, the juxtaposition of Sha'ol V'Yitzer Rocham, that just like the Rechem, you put in seed and it comes out of a human being, so to the grave is also equivalent to the conception of a better human being. The person goes in and will come out from Tchiyas HaMesim, will come out also with the Mekol HaKolos, the Kan Shuvah Lo'im, which is Tchiyas HaMesim Min HaTorah. Now, just to add to that, the terminology of the Chazal, I've used this Chazal here in creating a whole new set of terminology. What is the womb of the woman called in the Gemara? The Kever. In the laws of Nida, Hilchos Nida, Chazal say, Ein psichas hakever beloy dam. If a woman, let's say this term is used, I think, in different examinations, all these different high-tech things they do today, if a woman needs to go to a doctor and they do some type of an examination, there's generally a rule that a woman becomes a Nida. Why does she become a Nida? There's no blood. Doctor says there is no blood. Chazal no better. Ein psichas kever beloy dam. So what's the kever? The grave? The womb is called the grave? Yes, the womb is called the kever. What goes into that kever? Shechva zera. What is shechva zera? Seed. So the seed enters the grave, and what comes from that? A human being. Where did Chazal get that from? Because that's the Trias HaMeisim. Trias HaMeisim is the same thing when a body goes into the Sheol, into the Kever, the body is nothing more than Zera, a seed, which will grow and produce a human being at the time of the coming of Mashiach, at the time of Trias HaMeisim. Okay, Eretz. Okay, one other last thing. Eretz Le Sova Mayim. Okay, I will leave the next time. Okay, we'll stop over here.